Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rolling.
Hey, welcome to the Morning Wolfpack Share Your Salary podcast. This is Wednesday. I'm Matt McAllister. Emily's here.
Hi.
And Slow Joe.
Yo, yo.
And we'll chat a little bit after, but take a listen to our epic Share Your Salary today. Test Truck Driver Willie.
The Morning Wolfpack with Matt McAllister, 100.7 The Wolf.
How much do you think a Space Needle window washer makes? Or a barnacle scraper on the Bainbridge Ferry?
Dude, you're not supposed to ask someone how much money they make.
Maybe, but we can guess. Let's play Share Your Salary.
Because we all want to know what everybody else makes for a living, but it's never okay to ask until now. The last time we played Share Your Salary, we learned that undercover loss prevention officer Trisha is making $67,000 a year. Whew, tangling it up with perps. All right, on the phone with us right now is Willie, who lives in Arlington. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you folks doing?
Oh, man, Willie sounds happy, and note that right away.
Yes.
Okay? Because we're going to play Share Your Salary right now. Willie, we're great. By the way, you are a test truck driver, which is really cool. Is that correct?
Yes.
If it's okay with you, Willie, we want to put a minute on the clock. We're going to ask you as many questions as we can. We'll try to figure out exactly what it is that you do, because we've never had a test truck driver on before. When we're done, we'll play a three-minute song. We'll come back. We'll all guess what we think you make every year, and then you're going to tell everybody, Willie, you're going to share your salary. Is all that okay with you?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, Willie. Well, thank you so much for calling in and being a part of Share Your Salary. We appreciate it. Emily, if you're ready, I got 60 seconds on the clock. Yeah, you can begin anytime.
So what are your daily tasks at work?
Do a pre-trip on the truck just to check it out, make sure everything's good to go. We take the truck out and drive it on specified routes, depending on what kind of information the engineers need. Because the big thing about it is the trucks have lots of extra instrumentation on them to collect data about how the truck performs.
Okay, so you work for a company where a bunch of truck manufacturers bring their trucks for you guys to test them out?
We work for a specific manufacturer.
How long have you been doing this?
About 4 years.
Have you ever wrecked a truck you were testing?
I had a mechanical failure on one and got to ride that out, but...
How did you get into this?
Saw an ad and went through a very extensive onboarding process.
How many trucks fail your test?
Occasionally.
How much
I'm sorry, Emily. That is all the time
have
we have
so
for Share
questions.
Your Salary. So much to learn. Morning Wolfpack, if you want to help us out here, we definitely could use a little help. Willie in Arlington, he's a test truck driver. Go ahead and text in your guest right now to 46150. What do you think he's making every year? And stay with us, because right after this song, just 3 minutes away, we're going to find out he's going to share his salary coming up next.
The Morning Wolfpack with Matt McAllister, 100.7 The Wolf.
Let's play Share Your Salary.
Because we all want to know what everybody else makes for a living, but it's never okay to ask until now. On the phone with us is Willie in Arlington. Now, this is really interesting. We've never talked to a guy that did this before, or girl. He is a test truck driver. Emily, explain what that means.
So he works for a manufacturer, and he takes their trucks out, drives them around on different routes, and it has all sorts of equipment on it so they could see how it performs on daily tasks. And he got this job because he just saw an ad for it, and he applied, and he had to go through all the rigmarole, and he got it.
All right. Looks like Slow Joe was the winner the last time we played. Nice work there. Good to chalk up a win in 2020. You got to go first, though.
All right. I don't have anything to base this on. I've never even heard of this job, so I'm going to just say $70,000.
All right, Emily, you're up next as the overall leader and usual winner of Share Your Salary.
Because you saw an ad, and I think you have a lot of fun doing this, and that compensates some, I'm going to go a little lower, and I'll go 60.
Okay, I'm going to use the text message I always do. Jennifer at Mercer Island, thank you for texting in. Her guess is 50. And I'll tell you what, he sounded real happy in the beginning, and then he started to get a little sadder when he talked about what he did for a living. So I'm with her on this. I don't think he's getting paid what he wants to get paid. So 50. So it's 50, 60, and 70. That's the spread, but none of it really matters, Willie, because we want to know how much money you make every year doing what you do. A test truck driver. Time to share your salary, Willie. What's the number?
Well, on paper, it's 84.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Slow Joe again for the win.
Nice.
Love it.
So, can you tell us about the time that you had that mechanical malfunction and you ended up wrecking a truck?
Well, I can't go into real specifics because I had to sign like four NDAs to get this job. But just a mechanical part on the truck. I was told it was afterwards that it was like a one in a million thing.
Lucky you.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting ride.
So
put it that way.
Are you driving on regular roads? Like, could you drive by us on I-5 and we just not know it's you?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, Willie. Well, we appreciate you so much. Thank you for being a part of Share Your Salary. And listen, I think you blew us all away with the amount of money you make doing what you do. And it sounds pretty cool. So, hey, there's a career nobody knew about before this morning and pays really well. So thank you, Willie.
You bet.
All right, there you go. 84 grand a year for Willie. And again, last night I was writing that out of the schedule and I'm like, oh my God, I said this wrong the entire time we did the segment. Because in my mind, it should be truck test driver,
right, not
test truck driver. And so I'm like, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to fix that because I sound like an idiot. And then Joe told me this morning, no, that's Willie actually corrected you and said, that's how you say what he's doing.
Yeah, because he's not test driving trucks. They build a test truck that has all the instruments on it. So it's one specific truck for each whatever round of testing he does. So he drives the test truck.
Interesting. Well, it made me feel a whole lot better.
It sounds awesome. Like you're putting it through the paces, you know, like trying to like take it to its limits.
You get paid to sit in traffic.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well,
it might be boring sometimes, but
he did say they had a specific route. And we should have asked, like, okay, is that like Pacific Raceways in Kent where you can just like drive it around a track?
But I asked him if you'd see him on I-5, and he goes, yeah.
He said definitely.
So I think it's like normal wear and tear type stuff, too.
Yeah, I think it's probably all of the above. So I'm sure some of it's boring, but I'm sure
driving
some of it's
pretty
awesome,
driving through the pass, maybe.
Well, and they're not going to put him on a heavily trafficked route either if they know that that's, you can't really test a...
Right.
You know, I mean, I would like you can drive at 4 a.m. You can drive at 9 o'clock at night.
Absolutely.
Before we get on to anything else, though, you had some updates on undercover loss prevention officer Trisha.
Yes, Trisha. So Trisha, which is not a real name, which is why I feel comfortable reading these details that she shared with me over text.
Cool.
So I can't remember. We were saying that like profiling might be an issue with this job or something. So she was following up on that. She says, please let Emily know that a person's race doesn't ever enter into the equation. But she understands your concerns. I arrest way more white people than any other race. It is Seattle, after all. And as far as the gun, she's licensed to carry a concealed weapon. It's not a requirement, but she chooses to use it when she works in certain areas, like downtown Seattle. So she's had a gun pulled on her twice, and that's why she started carrying her personal Glock 9mm.
Wow.
And then she mentioned, she can handle herself unless she gets ganged up on. Well, that was a specific incident she was referring to. The part about getting beat up by three guys is true. Mm-hmm. It happened in downtown Seattle. I followed one 15-ish-year-old guy out of the store, and he went down an alley. He had two friends outside I wasn't aware of. One of them knocked me unconscious from behind. They broke my jaw, my nose, and my eye socket. They stole my pepper spray, handcuffs, and taser.
Wow.
The entire time, I could see men walking past who just completely ignored it.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
That should be a jailable offense. I know in England it is. If you just don't go help somebody, they'll arrest you.
I agree. And then just an FYI, I've arrested a police chief's daughter, two doctors, a fireman, a police detective, a 91-year-old woman, and three of our very own managers and four assistant managers.
Whoa!
The 91-year-old is the least surprising of all of those to me.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean,
because
by
that
age, you just don't care.
That doesn't surprise me. I know a lot of people steal from where they work. Police officer, though? That's surprising.
Well, a lot of people classify that kleptomania as a disease, like an alcoholism or any kind of other disease.
I think that's true to an extent. You know?
Like there's an addiction to it. There's like a dopamine release.
Totally,
Didn't Winona Ryder, wasn't she a big shoplifter for a while?
She got plenty of money. She's in there getting arrested shopping $100 worth of clothes.
Yeah. I think it's just, I would bet if you had to put that into a category with something else, it would be very similar to the gambling addiction where there's just like
you get away with it.
Right.
Yeah. It's like that release of endorphins.
Agreed. Yeah. But I thought that was an interesting follow-up. Yeah.
God, I'm almost sick to my stomach a little bit about her getting beaten up so badly.
That's what I said.
I hope they got caught.
You know, it's funny, man. And downtown Seattle, if you go into like Target downtown or like the McDonald's on like 4th and Pike, it is just lunatic central. And any, I think any big city, especially in like the heart of a big city, you're going to have that. But we went to, we were in San Francisco the other, a few weeks ago. We had to go to Ross for something. Ross, right? Like random Ross.
Dress yeah. for less.
You go in there. Everything is locked up behind glass doors. There's probably two cops and five like armed security guards standing in there. And it's just, it was chaotic. It was so crazy.
Well, and here's the problem. I think San Francisco and Seattle, and I know like probably LA, San Diego might fall in the same category. Mm-hmm. Very, what is the word I'm looking for here? Very caring, very sympathetic, very nurturing almost to some of the homeless population.
Right. Which
like
is,
I know like on the news this week, it's been dominating about how they go around and they literally are like this huge outreach program to get all of the homeless into shelters so mm-hmm. they don't die.
Right.
But you know, the problem is, the flip side of that is that not all those people are just down on their luck and waiting for a good break and trying to, and there's some real crime and some drugs.
Absolutely.
And our downtown, you know, it's at risk. There's businesses packing up and leaving because it's too dangerous.
Yeah.
They have to have too much security. Mm-hmm. Tourists aren't going to want to go there anymore because it's not safe. Like, yep. So there's that fine line between having a heart and being compassionate. That's the word I was looking for.
Right.
And like ruining your downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've heard San Francisco is way worse. It's almost to the point where it's like you don't even want to get, it's like Oakland.
You know, I think it's probably about the same. There's just, it's a bigger city. So there's more area it's just got a higher homeless population,
yeah.
I think. And in turn, a higher drug addicted segment of that population. And that's the problem. I saw that whole Seattle's is dying documentary,
yeah.
which was really fascinating. But it shows you a lot of like, there are some of these people that have jobs, steady jobs, and they have these tent communities where they all look mm-hmm. out for each other, and everybody's like, you know, everybody has to get up in the morning, and somebody watches all the stuff and tries to keep the riffraff out. And you got these other tent communities that are just fueled by drugs,
right.
where they did a raid on one not too long ago, and literally they one tent had probably, I think it was like $20,000 in cash,
what?
Four or five guns, and you know, a plethora of drugs. And so that's somebody that clearly doesn't need to be out there, but that's where the money is, and that's
wow.
where they're cashing in. So yeah, it's a wild thing, but you know, again, there's a lot of smart people, smarter than us, working on it, and they haven't figured it out yet. So.
Well, there's a guy on the news last night. There were two funny things. They had a guy, Como had a guy that went down to the camp, and they were trying to figure out why people, even if they're being offered a warm place to sleep, aren't taking it.
Right.
And the one guy was like, dude, if I leave, all my stuff's gone.
Right.
Like, if I leave yeah. and go into that place, I come back, nothing's here. That's
right.
just what happens. And then this other guy, he was so funny. He's like, snow. This ain't snow. I'm from Ohio. This is a dusting. This is cloud.
Yeah.
And he was like laughing at the idea of going into a shelter at 31 degrees or whatever. He's like, this ain't nothing, man.
Yeah.
I grew up in Chicago.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, speaking of all that and the weather too, Emily told me something really interesting today that I just never even occurred to me, but about your boyfriend and his commuting.
Oh, yeah. So
I mean, this is crazy. Joe, if you didn't hear this, this is crazy.
So he takes the bus in mm-hmm. because parking is so expensive in Seattle. And it took like 3.5 hours because they had chains on the tires and the bus goes 30 miles an hour but when it's gross out. And so he was working from home today because he was like, I don't want to spend that much time on a bus.
Yeah,
to get there
normally
it takes like 30, 45 minutes.
Can you
hour.
Imagine?
Like,
that's 7 hours round trip on a bus just to get to work.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's never happening.
No, I was like, are you kidding me?
What? So it took 3 hours each way?
Yeah, believe
oh
so
my
about
God,
that.
That's
from Woodinville.
Ridiculous.
What did he do? Like, you could watch two movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I got him a little, for Christmas, I got him a little like Game Boy that has like 500 games on it.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh.
he could play that in case his phone dies.
Yeah,
I'd have just gone right back to bed. Yeah,
good for him too. I'm not sure that I would ever make that conscious decision to pull into like a park and ride and take a bus when I could just drive.
When it's as expensive as it to
yeah.
park here, like
that's
there's
true.
No, that's not an option. Parking here is not an option.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, for those of you who don't live here in the Seattle area, yeah, it's. I remember literally fighting in my contract here to get a parking space
yeah.
in a building.
Mm-hmm. It's
coming from Arizona where there's like a parking lot everywhere you
yeah.
look. I was like, I couldn't even wrap
yep.
my brain around that.
You have to have monthly parking to even make it remotely affordable. And even then, it's like $4,000 to $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
It's like a line item thing
yeah.
you got to deal with.
It's as much as a car payment for sure. That's what I ended up saying. Nope, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Emily was telling me that her employer doesn't like that when he works from home. But I'm like, would you rather have your employee at home being marginally productive or on a bus doing nothing?
Yeah. Right. Oh, totally. And
3.5 hours.
The funny thing is, too, there were so many accidents over the past few days. And I read this article this morning that talked about why people in Seattle feel pressured to get to work on a snow day. And they all think they're really good at driving, and none of them are. And that's why you have 40 car pileups on the 520 that just ruined it for everybody. It's like,
well, and I was talking to one of the other guys that works at the rock station this morning, and actually he was like, hey man, how are things out where you are? And I said, you know what, we got a lot of snow in Issaquah, but I said, I grew up in the Midwest, so I'm really comfortable on the snow, and it doesn't, I don't get, but I said, Emily, growing up in Georgia, like, it's a thing, like, she's been sleeping
in black ice,
she's been sleeping in the hotel across, and he goes, you know what though, he goes, I'm like you, I feel pretty good about my driving, but knowing how many people here don't know what to do and do, like, you know, you're tense even if you don't know you're tense because it's just you're uncomfortable. And he's like, I'd rather just not have people like that on the road. So,
Well, and I feel like now me staying in a hotel is a guarantee we will not get snow and ice.
Yeah.
Because I stayed in it Sunday night and I stayed in last night, nothing. And the night before I didn't, and there was some ice. So,
The only thing I got a little anxious about was last year, the part that tripped me up was they plow the road after I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And when they plow the road, it piles up this massive pile of snow in my driveway. And last year, I had a little tiny Toyota Corolla. Like, it was small. And I didn't really know what was happening because it's dark. It's 4 in the morning.
And you didn't have a shovel, right?
I didn't have a shovel. And I backed right into it, and I got stuck right away. It's 4 in the morning. And all I had was that little tiny garden shovel my wife had bought to plant hydrangeas. So I'm out there at 4 in the morning, like... So since then, I've gotten like the giant Costco shovel or the Home Depot shovel.
Yeah.
I actually got a bigger vehicle because my car went to my bonus daughter, but it hasn't been that bad yet. We have not seen yet what we saw in February last year, which was like literally on top of my barbecue. I would say it was like 3 feet.
Oh yeah, I'm curious to see if it's over or if it's gonna get cold like that again.
Port Angeles is getting hit like we did last year.
Yeah, they're
that's
out
there. They're
in a couple
feet.
They got
they're over to the west.
21 inches, I think.
Oh man,
that's a lot.
Well, I personally, it's beautiful. It's fun to see kids running through your yard in their snow gear. There were kids sledding by Issaquah High School yesterday. It's very reminiscent of how I grew up, but I'm ready for that to move along now. And they did say I saw by Sunday our temperatures could be back in the 50s.
Nice.
Yeah. So this is going to be the week, and then hopefully for a while we'll be cool because you know. We live in Seattle.
Yep.
This is not Minneapolis.
No.
All right, guys. Thanks for checking out the podcast. We love you. Tomorrow we're going to have Accountant Gina on, so we'll find out kind of, she must be getting stressed out right about now. Accountants. I mean, we're getting our W-2s and people are starting.
When do we get our W-2s?
We have them.
I think you have them already.
You have an email that says it's ready if you want it.
Okay.
I thought I was the one who didn't check my email from Intercom. delete. All right. Anyway, so Accountant Gina will be on tomorrow. Check it out. We love you guys. Have a good day.
The Morning Wolfpack with Matt McAllister.
Weekday mornings from 5 till 9.
On 100.7 The Wolf.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.